Blog Talk Radio.
You have your Omega 7 in the house, and thank you so very much for tuning in to the show. This is a live broadcast coming to you live. Once again, I'd like to thank those newcomers for tuning in, for being a part of the show. And ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to go to station identification. We'll be right back at you in the air. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for being a part of the show. We're having a little technical difficulty, but we'll be right back up. I'm gonna have to take my show upstairs. No problem with sitting there. Did you have any time yesterday? Well, I'm going to have to work. Yeah, I'm going to have to work. Yeah, but it's too much stuff plugged up in there. Right now, I didn't have to unplug you because this Ethernet ain't working right. I may have to restart the whole thing. What is this doing? I ain't never said this before. I'm gonna girl, you know I'll have to ask them to put them clothes upstairs. I just need to show. I can pre-record it if I have to. have to. It can't be going out like this. And they've been on all day. Now, why would it be going out? I don't care. Put it all down. Include it. We got Skype running on here. I can't run Skype on here. That's the problem. I've never ran Skype on here. The Skype takes up a lot of space, so we're going to have to shut it down for a minute. And see what's going to happen. Yeah, Skype can run on here. You got Skype running, and then you got another. Skype is open. That's I am used to having Skype on. Restarted it. The show must go on, didn't it? Tell you, you doing too much business. You gotta have your own setup. You can't be doing Skype now. No, I know, but see, I'm not using Skype. Right, and I'm going to have to, maybe I can get it to kick back in and see what's going on. I can't be right in the middle of my show and then it goes off. This is not going to work. Definitely. Blog talk on what I'm doing. And I noticed that they're trying to help me out. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Sorry for that technical difficulty. We're going to go right on into the show. You have your Omi Inca 7 in the house, the one you need and the advisor you want. And thank you so very much for being patient with us. We are about to do our second segment of the Neophyte, the EWA Neophyte Initiate. Stay tuned for station identification. We're going to bring to you a selection from Mr. Cobbs.
Well, Mother is the message, got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Thank you so very much for holding and waiting for the show to begin. We're just going to give you a little background information about what went on last week. For those newcomers who are just starting to survey the room or be a part of the room, we'd like to thank you. And for all of our own listening audience, we'd like to thank you as well. And as is and as always, before we start our show, we do our initial ritual. And I'd like to give you some background information. Last week, we gave a little information about the language of Ifa. We read some prayers in Ifa, but I'd like to give you a little bit more foundation so that you can hear those prayers. We did a complete initiation of two brothers that were in the room, and those two brothers were doing a rites of passage initiation. And we gave them their Eleke beads, and we gave them one of their new names. And one of the names was Oluboni, which Oluboni was LaFrance's new name, and for Alexander, his new name was Bidiako, meaning warrior. So as they gained their new names, there will be three names given to them total. However, we will come back to you and give you those names in another program. Those two brothers have transitioned into an EWA NEPA status. And when we are in the process of putting together the Neophyte training, there are several things that you need to know. But before we get started, we're going to ask permission to speak from our elder. And once we get that permission to speak, we'll be on with the show, and I can lay a foundation for you. I'm looking to see if I see an elder to my right or to my left, and I do see an elder, and I want to ask her permission to speak. Elder, do I have permission to speak?
Yes, by all means, you have permission to speak.
Thank you very much, Elder. Now, I'm going to spend a little time in purifying myself, and I want to explain to you a little bit of why I have to purify myself and what's the purpose of being purified, and why do we have to throw water to all four cardinal directions, and what is the purpose of the water? As I told you before, water has no enemy. Water is neutral. Water has no foes, so therefore water will stand in a position where it will take no sides. It is neutral. And when we pour water in all four corners of the water of the West, I'm going to have a purification done, and I'm going to ask this brother here if he will definitely purify me. Will you please purify me?
Yes. Water to the north. Water to the south. Water to the west. Water to the east. Your purification.
Thank you very much for that purification. Now, the four cardinal points are associated with the first four signs, or the Odu, the Ifa, Ile Olerum Majuwa, means each, and that is a name that's spoken in Yoruba. Iwa Olerum Alisha Awa means west. Ara Volo Bolowi means south. Okay? And then we looked to the south and the north. And north means Gu, Gushigu, Elewa. Now, these are terms that are spoken in Yoruba. However, the Iwa will learn the language in time, and he will learn to speak the language. The horizontal east-west line is called the Unu Otobi, meaning the great road of life. This statement represents all that which falls under the census. The perpendicular south-north line represents all that which man does not intuit, the world of mystery where the census do not reach. It carries the name Lutum, Lutum, unknown remote land, place of the far-off unknown, or London, unknown, remote, over there. It is the domain of the unknowing. The line of the sensible world is divided in two parts, and that's Gojibi, Mijibi, represents the day and all that which is sensible during the day. Mejibi represents the night and all that which is sensible during the night. Ojubi, Mejibi represent life. Oye, Oyekun, Mejibi represents death. The line of the invisible, unknown world includes the couple of Ori, Meji, and Udu, Odu, Meji. Under them are about them. And information has strong contradiction, since they are of the domain where one cannot reach by intuition. Now, before we enter our shrine, during the prayer, the water is normally poured. The Ifa worshippers must make sure that the water is thrown to the ground before they commence with their prayer or doing the prayer. Now, the water purifies and sanctifies that area, so it is holy. Excuse me. That is why frequently tell you you're standing on holy ground. Once the ground has been purified with water, it becomes holy. It's set aside for the purpose of worshiping. This fact is born out of the following recital from the Holy Odu. And I'd like to read you a little from the Holy Odu. Olorum is the name of God for the Africans' God, Olorum. And we will have a complete study on the three deities of the inner court of God, the outer court, and the Godhead that lives here on earth. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Olorum Miji, Olorum Miji, Olokum, Olani, Olorum. Ladies and gentlemen, the Olorum name is a higher name for the prophet, and Oludulamare is the name of actual mighty deity of God. And we will do a complete segment on that. We will not get into deep discussion about the names of the deities or the name of Almighty God. Now, I'd like to take some time to read our pledge, our African pledge for the family. But before we read our pledge, I'd like to go ahead and do our naming ceremony as we call on our ancestors, our heroes and sheroes, and our personal ancestors. As we get ready for the journey of the freedom, I'd like to call out the names of the ancestors, and you can respond by saying, Ashe. Ashe meaning, so be it, so let it be done. I'd like to call out the name of Madam C.J. Walker. Ashe. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Ashe. Malcolm X. Ashe. Scott Joplin. Ashe. W.E.B. Du Bois, Ashe. Langston Hughes, Ashe. Sojourner Truth, Ashe. Martin Luther King, Ashe. Coretta Scott King, Ashe. Leontine Price, Ashe. Jackie Robinson, Ashe. Harriet Tubman, Ashe. Louis Armstrong, Ashe. And we like to say, Ashe, so be it, so let it be done. And as I call out my personal ancestors, you could stand and call out your personal ancestors, your family members who have gone on before you. Normally you would have these names written out, and preferably a picture to go with each one of them on your altar. And the nine glasses of water that you would set on your altar, they need to be dedicated. One being dedicated to your Owe, which is your head. One being dedicated to your mother's spirit, your father's spirit. One being dedicated to Oludulamare, which is the Godhead of Africa, Almighty God. And when you dedicate these, you can also dedicate them to your deities, whichever deities you have your reading from. Now, in our writing for today was mentioned the divinations, and I don't quite think that you're ready for the divinations on the second day of the initiation. I will briefly talk about what divinations are upon completing calling out my ancestors' names. I'd like to call the name of Robert Jenkins, Ashe. Clara Mae Jenkins, Ashe. I'd like to call out the name of Tommy P. Harvey, Ashe. Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. Eugene Lilly, Shay, Marvin Jenkins, Shay, Robert Jr. Jenkins, Shay, Michelle Harvey, Shay, Bessie Lilly, Shay, Isa Lilly, Shay, Ruby Bracken, Shay, Essie Lee Pope, Shay, Michael Harvey, Shay. And I'd like to say, so be it, so let it be done. Shay. Ladies and gentlemen, don't hesitate to commence with this ceremony at any time. It is like commencing with the Last Supper. It is a ritual and is a tradition that must be held in every household. As we teach the neophytes today, and as we teach the OWALs, the OWALs are neophytes in training. Sit your children down and teach them and show them what a neophyte does in training. When we are learning spiritual things, we become a neophyte, ladies and gentlemen. And as I mentioned to you, that there is a lesson on divination. This is something that is done upon you having a foundation first. Divinations are really intended for the Baba laws and for the high priest and priestess, someone who's been fully trained and understands the reason you have divination and why an eval has to be done upon giving divination. Divinations are a destiny reading to give you a destiny for your life and direction for your life, to show you what your purpose was, because Ifa was there at the inception of your birth. He knows that you asked to come here, and a particular thing you stated that you could do. So your request was made known, and you were given a chance to come here on earth to address that specific thing that you thought that you could address and help. Now, a divination reading would be given to someone who would also have a problem on their head or trouble in their life or conditions that they can't figure out. Then a divination would be given to that person, and an eval would also be read, something that that candidate would have to do in order to satisfy the 400 plus one on the right side and the 200 plus one on the left side. What I'm referring to is the divinations, and the divinations are poetry that is read that will give you a direction for your life and a way to solve your problem. Now, because we are at the beginning initiation stage, it is not advisable for you to have an in-depth study on divination right now. Most people run in and they think they're going to get a reading and somebody's going to read them and they're going to function as a clairvoyant deity and be able to see into their lives. It doesn't work that way, ladies and gentlemen. You must understand that a person is going to want to give you some foundational information, and that is what we're about to do now in our neophyte training. And I'll go to station identification, and I'll be right back at you in the air.
Shop owner, I want your business. What must I do to convince you that I'm here to service you? I live in the neighborhood and my ways are just as good. Why don't you come and support me the way you know you should?
Brother, my community. Our big businessman, you know he thinks he's free. So he makes a lot of money, but he's black like me. He bought a big house on the hill, away from the likes of me. He makes all of his money off of us, you see. But he never reinvests in the community. Tell me, why won't he invest in the community?
I am man with a product and a plan. Me need money to have the plan expand. The bank say no when I ask for help. Where are my brothers who got all their wealth? They say God bless the child who got his own. Though a child be blessed, he can't do much alone. Who can I turn to if I can't count on you? What is a small businessman to do?
Gentlemen, we can help ourselves, Bahujama, patronizing one another in our own community, buying from African-American stores, purchasing with that almighty dollar. We can circulate that dollar more than one time in our own community. We can help ourselves, Bahujama. Let's not forget that, ladies and gentlemen. Let me go on by reciting the African Pledge, the Black Family Pledge. Because we have forgotten our ancestors, our children no longer give us honor. Because we have lost the path our ancestors cleared, kneeling and perilous undergrowth. Our children cannot hear us when we're crying. Because we have abandoned our wisdom of mothering and fathering, our befuddled children give birth to children they neither want nor understand. Because we have forgotten how to love the adversity and within our gates and hold up the mirror of the world shouting, we guard the loneliness. Therefore, we pledge to bind ourselves to one another, to embrace one loneliest, to keep company with our loneliest, to educate our illiterate, to feed our starving, to clothe our ragged, to do all good things, knowing we are more than keepers of our brothers and sisters. We are our brothers and sisters in honor of those who toil and employ with God's golden tongue and gratitude to the same God who brought us out of hopeless desolation, we make this pledge in honor of the family. Now, in honor of our flag, ladies and gentlemen, the red, black, and green flag, here's to the flag of mine, the red, black, and green, hopes in its future bright Africa has seen. Here's to the red of it, great nations shall know of it in time to come. Red blood shall flow of it, historians shall write of it, great flag of mine. Here's to the black of it, 400 million back of it, whose destiny depends on it, the red, black, and green of it, old flag of mine. Here's to the green of it, young men shall dream of it, face shot and shelled of it, maidens shall sing of it, waving so high. Here's to the whole of it, colors broad and pole of it, please is my soul with it, regardless of what is told of it. Thanks to God for giving it, great flag of mine. Ladies and gentlemen, recite those pledges to your children and let them learn of their heritage and tell them they have more than a heritage. They have a culture. Now, I'd like to present to you the corner of Fomi's recommended books. And we've just completed a portion of our talking cure, but I have a special part that I'd like to introduce you to about libation. But let me give the recommended book. The recommended book I have for you today, ladies and gentlemen, is Yorugu. It's an African-centered critique of the European cultural thoughts and behavior. And this book is by Marimba Ani. This is a manual to behold. Dr. Marimba Ani took over 20 years to compile this manuscript, and with other doctors who she shared the editing part to review for her. If I'm not mistaken, she was living in Africa at the time, during most of her time in writing this material. And she talks about our Maiafa, which you definitely need to learn about. It is similar to the Holocaust, which we went through as well. And for some of you who are not familiar with the Holocaust, there is some traditional documentation to substantiate that African Americans also died in the Holocaust in Germany prior to anyone being massacred. There were African Americans that were involved in the Holocaust. It's not according to Garth, ladies and gentlemen. You can go look that up. The research is available. However, I'd like to delve into this book a little bit and let you know Yoruba is a masterpiece. Every counter, every living room table should have a copy of Yorugu on it. It is teaching us about our family structure. And it talks about three different family structures and explaining how did the family structure come about and the best practices of the families. And I really could not get into all the details of it and intricacy, but I would hope that you would take some time if you care to read. Now, that little surprise that I wanted to give you, I wanted to show you a little bit about a ritual which you should perform when you're going to do your libation. I meant to also tell you that it's very important that you call the ancestors in a special way. You need to ring a bell. And that bell is very, very important. It sends out a warning, and it also signals the ancestors. I'd like to play you a little segment of an ancestral piece. Understand the meaning that our drums have for us. so much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. You have your Omega 7 in the house. I'd like to give those call numbers out. I am the advocate that you need and certainly the advisor you want. Those call numbers, if you care to call in and be a part of the discussion for this evening, our number is 646-478-0270. Please do call in and be a part of the discussion. We are starting on our segment, The Spiritual Community of the Blessed Lord Oromola, and this is Neophyte Training Number 2. In this training, I wanted to discuss with you all about religion and what exactly religion means to the African. Our religion rises out of the deification. Now, this is coming from the Blessed Oromola writing, and it was written by Chief Metahoshi, my teacher. So everything I'm going to give you in this role will be coming from my personal teaching and training, from my actual notes and books that I received during my IFA initiation training for priestesshood. Lesson number 2, all religion rises out of the deification of someone's nationalism. Let me repeat that. All religion rises out of the deification of someone's nationalism. Understand this, he says, and you will discern the key to your own victory. He goes on to say, I hold strongly to the views that the emancipation of any nation is now complete, is not complete as long as the nation is still in religious bondage. Political, economic emancipation will always prove meaningless and unrealistic as long as the spirit of the nation is continued to be influenced by the religious concepts and the religious teachings and practice of another's nation. He goes on to write, and in what way does a religion rise out of the nationalism of a people? In what way is Islam the deification of Arabic nationalism? This is a question that was posed, and let me read that question again. In what way does religion rise out of the nationalism of a people, and what is Islam and the deification of Arabic nationalism? Now, these are not on these questions. These are coming straight out of my training material and my book. So if you have any odd or have questions, you can check with the actual editor of the material, Chief Metahoshi, who is recognized as a chief throughout Africa for his writing in Yoruba teaching. Now, this is his opinion. Number one, firstly, Islam, he said, teaches that the language of the ultimate reality, Allah, is Arabic. He goes on to say that Islam ascribes to Arabic and status of a revealed language, for it is the medium in which the Quran, the sacred scriptures of Islam, was revealed. And several passages of the Quran testimony to our own Arabic uniqueness. What was the authorities called? What do they call it? And he goes on to say, the immensable equivalence, okay, the Quran, which they go on to cite information about the Quran. He says the author of the Quran, who is God, is what they were saying, thus cares to be the associate with the speech, so that the sound of the language are believed to be originated in heaven, seeing, and he has 1982, this is a date that this was written, and he goes on to say, sequentially, the Muslims have intuited the sacred Arabic as the language of the cardinal devotion. And he goes on to say, an intuit situation arises which the prestigious and revenue status of an Arabic act to the destination of the vehicle. Now, in so many words, he's saying the mother tongue speaks fine themselves in the position of their language, being considered profane, okay, for the decision of the act and the religion. And let me break that down in layman's terms. From what I'm understanding, when he says all religion is born out of the nationalism of someone's deification, meaning that whatever stand somebody wants to defend in their life, they have a personal issue that they want people to take up arms, to be willing to fight for and to defend. So it is the deification of somebody's thoughts and beliefs. Now, they also go on to talk more about other religions, and let me see what else they're saying here. It says, number one, one may argue that the effects of the premises exclusively role of the sacred Arabic has been to discourage general Muslims' interest in the language of the non-Muslims. Now, in other words, it sounds like here you're talking about an African-American speaking an Arabic language, turning his head to a different direction and praying to a different God, none other than the God that came from his traditional culture, which would be Africa. Okay? He goes on, thirdly, to say, to pray effectively, one must turn one's head toward Mecca, not toward any place on the continent of Africa or any place that has a spiritual reverence for the Awal Oluduwa. Fourthly, he says, Muhammad, upon whom be peace and blessing of God, in Arabic is said to be the last and most important prophet. Fifthly, certain Arabicizing customs are looked upon as valuable. And he says, we looked upon as being valuable. In other words, he's asking, how can an African become Arabic, ritualistic, and endorse an Arabic training when he is from a different part of the continent? And significant changes of his name, being changed to an Arabic name. Why? He goes on to say that, you know, the name itself would denote that the person is no longer African. And in order to read the Quran correctly, when reading the Quran, there would be certain things that would not be applicable to African. And one has to do so in the Arabic language. And doing so and reading in the Arabic tongue would take away from the African being African. And in so many words, it would pay homage to the Arabic lineage and race of people and not, in fact, to the African. They have a good point there, but I'm not at liberty right now to argue that point, but I'll put that out there for you. And listening audience, if you're out there in the audience, I invite you to call in to give your statement about what do you think about an African-American or an African turning his head to Mecca to pray to an Arabic country that does not behold him or her as an African. What do you think about it, ladies and gentlemen? Is there some discrepancy? Should someone question that and ask, am I Arabic or am I African? The question here today, ladies and gentlemen, is to be or not to be African. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go on because there's some other things we touched upon. The significant, the change in the names we talked about. Now, here's some questions that he poses for you. Chief Metahochi poses these questions. Is the Arabic language more sacred than Icon, Yoruba, Africa, Dahomey? Is it more sacred than the Zulu or the Yoruba? If so, why? Why, ladies and gentlemen, is the Arabic language more sacred? And if it is, if you'd like to call in and share that with me, if you care to read, this is our answering and question segment, and we're going to be doing this throughout the Neophyte training to get all of the African-Americans in on this topic, to talk about those who are worshiping in Islamic practices. Is it a problem for you to turn your head to Mecca to pray when, in fact, your lineage and your continent was over in Africa? Call in, ladies and gentlemen, with your questions and statements. I'd love to hear from you. Next question. What makes Mecca a holy city? I am not Islamic. I have not a clue. But I know that there are certain people out there that have plenty to talk about or say about why is Mecca a holy city. What are the intricate things that would make Mecca a holy city? Number three, what does it mean to say that Muhammad is the last and the most important prophet? What does that mean exactly, ladies and gentlemen? Is there someone out there in the audience that would like to share or break bread with us today to discuss that? Because I certainly would like to hear from you. Let me go on. Number four, and it reads, do you know any Sunni Muslim who does not have an Arabic name? And if you do, ladies and gentlemen, please call in. Let's talk about it. This is Omi talking to you in reference to Neophyte training. These are all of the things that we want to address as an African-American who is now trying to find themselves through going through initiation and rituals. Number five, Chief Medhotu writes, if African people had to give up their name, their language, their creative modifications, their religion, what effects would this have on the preservation of their culture? Now, I'm going to talk about that statement. If we give up our names as African and we no longer carry our African names, we take on new names of the Arabic name, and we turn our face to the wall to pray towards Mecca, and we have never been initiated into our own customs of African, most of us would not know the difference. And I'm just going to tell you that who have not been in a culture studies or ritual, we would think that we are now replacing the European curriculum for a new African curriculum just because it is something none other than Americanized. But that's not so, ladies and gentlemen. You have got to study your own customs and traditions to know what is African and what is not. Now, let me read on. Number six, it says here, how would 100 million African adoption adopt Arabic names? How would 100 million Africans adopt Arab names and turning toward Mecca five times a day and touching their forehead to the earth affect the preservation of Arabic culture? Think about that. Internalize that, ladies and gentlemen, for a minute. If you're raising up an organization, paying homage to them five times a day, eliciting prayers and speaking highly of a nation, irregardless if you were part of that nation or not, laws and principles are effective irregardless if you are a part of Islamic teaching or not. You would rise and raise up that nation. That nation would rise up because so many people are paying homage to that country and to those people. Then, in fact, you would be endorsing that country, lifting it up, strengthening it, and giving homage to another country. It doesn't matter what nationality you are or what race of people, you still would be doing the same effective thing of raising up a nation. In fact, in this situation, it would mean you're raising up a nation outside of yourself. Now, let me go on, because there's a lot of truth in what is being said here. African Americans are going to have to now go back and reassess who they really are, and they're going to have to know thyself, know something about the Yoruba language, understand the tongue, what it means to speak in your own tongue and to say prayers in your own tongue. When an African becomes a Muslim, which culture does he or she project? An African culture or the Arabic culture? Which one, ladies and gentlemen? How would you divide this situation, and what would be the most appropriate thing to do? Now, that's why we're so terribly confused. Psychologically, we've been torn against being African or being Arabic. And to truly understand who we are would be a mystery. But it would behoove you to spend some time, African Americans, learning about your own customs, traditions, and heritage. Then you would know what is authentic for yourself and your family. But you haven't taken the time, you said. You don't know anything about Africa because that's not where you're from. You weren't born in Africa. So what if you weren't born in Africa? But you better believe if you wear the marks and scars on your face of the burnt Nubian, somebody in your lineage definitely came from Africa. And you ought to be about the business of finding out a little bit more about your ancestral ship and a little bit about which tribe you belong to. Getting your DNA done, one would say, to find out which one of those tribes you're connected to. It would behoove you to design and create your religion after your culture. One doesn't go out and just get a religion just for the heck of getting a religion. If it is outside of your culture, it would be like worshiping idols because it would be immaterialistic to your culture. Now, I ask you the question again, he poses. Is Arabic culture better than Icon, Ifa, Voodoo, Contemplé? Is it better? Call in, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to hear from you. And if not, why would an Icon person project Icon culture for Arabic culture? Why would a person leave the African culture and embrace Arabic culture? Something must tell an African that this is a custom that is much better than my own African custom. What is it, ladies and gentlemen? If you have an answer, please call in and pose that answer for us. Now, he goes on to say, name one thing that African people learned about the Supreme Being from Islam and or Christians that they didn't already know. Now, let me speak to that as a Christian. Most of us don't understand that there were only 20% Christians who willingly became a member of the Christian cloth. The remaining portion of those people were beaten into submission, and they were raped, they were mutilated, and forced into being Christians. Now, were Africans always Christians? Is this something that we always were, or do we have our own customs and traditions? African American, I want to tell you, you had your own customs and traditions. You were rich custom and tradition. You had the religion of Isis at one time, Isis being the comedic teaching. You ought to research it. You ought to find out that it preceded Christianity by thousands of years. It was one of the oldest religions, the comedic teaching. So therefore, you might be practicing out of deficit, out of default, another custom and tradition. You might find that African religion is very suiting for you, even though you might not understand it. Take up a study and learn about it. Now let me go on. What does Islam teach about the catechism that befalls Africans? I'd like to know. Inquiring minds would like to know. If you're out in the audience, please do call in. That number is 64. Hold on. Please do call in. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to give that call number out again, 646-478-0270. Inquiring minds would like to hear from you. And he goes on to say, we went over that. He said, what does Islamic teaching teach us about the catechism? We asked that question. Let me go on here. Here we go. What role, if any, did Islam play in this catechism? If anyone knows that answer, please call in and discuss it with us. Now, these are questions he's posing. He goes on to say, and in what way is Christianity the deification of someone's nationalism? And this is what he writes, ladies and gentlemen. The revelation of the Christian God was revealed in the Hebrew language. Number two, he says, the most sacred shrine in Christendom is Jerusalem, the Hebrew's holy city. Number three, the highest and greatest personification in Christianity is a Hebrew prophet. Reform, the Master Jesus, upon whom be peace and blessings of God, who was apostolized to a third part of the Hebrew God, Yeshua. All African Christians adopt European names. Christianity teaches that all deities conceived by Africans are false, or that they are demonized and sent from the Christian hell to mislead African people, and that only spirit, angels, and God conceived by Hebrew prophets are real and benevolent to the humanity. Now, is that true, ladies and gentlemen? Only wants to talk about it. Why has African religion been demonized? And who demonized it? And for what purpose? And why are there so many people flocking after African religion in secrecy and privacy to get divination and to get their destiny reading? Why, if they have demonized it? And why has African turned their backs on their own religion? Now, I know that the missionaries have gone to Africa to teach Christianity, and they've done a very good job. Oh, I'd like to commemorate them for doing such a good job. But what seems to be the problem here in the United States? Is it because Africans have never taken the time to learn about African religion, that they've allowed someone to demonize their very own customs and traditions without ever coming out to examine them for themselves? Oh, you weak people, you are going to have to wake up. Whenever somebody demonizes your religion, you take time to examine it for yourself. Don't let anyone tell you that your African religion is a pagan religion. Don't let anyone tell you that it's voodoo and it's witchcraft. Don't let anyone tell you that. You have got to wake up, African people. And I'm waking you up today. I want you to wake up. Because we're going to figure this thing out together, and we are going to be about the business of learning our heritage, understanding our heritage in our old ways of life. They say our ways are dead. They say that our ancient fathers are no more. They say that our work in the area of divination is witchcraft. They say that it's white magic. They say it's tied down a couple of, but what do you say? The question is, whose report will you believe? Let's end the show this evening with a great Ujamaa. We're going to come together some kind of way, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to find our very best self, and we're going to have to know ourselves.
Job is hard, but can be.
today it is yours, ladies and gentlemen. I thank you for this opportunity to speak with you, and as is and as always, I am your servant. Whatever you like, I am here to serve you. I am only your advisor, the one you need, and the advocate, the one you certainly want. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to employ you to allow your children to sit down and to hear this training. It is Neophyte training, ladies and gentlemen. It's up under our self-help program. This program has been underwritten by Project 2019. We aim to close the gap of ignorance, and we aim to teach and train in our own customs and heritage and our own native tongues. And ladies and gentlemen, bear with me as I stumble through our language, as I try to wake up from this slumber. Help me as I help you to wake up. And remember, if I better myself, you better yourself. You are Africans today, ladies and gentlemen. For African Americans, this program has been produced for you. I invite all other denominations in so you can see how civilization was made and see which greatness that Africans came from. We're not excluding anyone. Once we better ourselves, then all other nations can better themselves. But we have forgotten who we were, and we must wake up. We must wake up and come back to ourselves. We were a great nation at one time. African people were a complete whole nation, lacking and needing nothing. Why have we fallen so far away from the truth? Why are we now lingering in the back and we are last at everything? We must pull ourselves up. Getting degrees is not just a request. It's going to be a requirement for you to get some sort of training, ladies and gentlemen. Why not come in this room and get taught and trained and get trained about your heritage? Omi is taking EFI, Neophyte training, taking time to unfold and break bread with you this evening, because I feel it is my duty and responsibility to bring understanding, cultural enrichment into every African-American household and to those Europeans as well. You need to know this too. You need to know the real history, and you need to understand that Africans did give something to civilization. And we were not locked out of society, but we were the ones that made up society. Remember I told you we were the old people. We are the mothers and fathers, and the mothers and fathers must bring their children back into subjection if they have swayed away. We must bring the nation back into subjection and show them the way that we once ruled the world at a time when we were kings and queens. Ladies and gentlemen, and I don't mean this in a slight way that we are better or we are greater, but this is what the history books laid down. It was written by many hands of Europeans and people from all over the world. These are not lies that we decided to tell you about Africans. They're true and can be substantiated. And it's important to get the truth out. And it's important that we go back to our stages of who we were so we can properly get in position of the hierarchy. Things are so out of order today that we don't know ourselves. When we hear our African music, we cringe, and we say that that stuff is for the African, the rich people. It is our African drum. Our talking drums still send a signal, and they still talk to us yesterday. Embrace your heritage. Be a part of it. And together we can make this universe change. We can transition into a whole balanced world. But we're going to need the help of everyone. But Europeans, while we're cleaning up ourselves, allow us a chance to get cleaned up. Because we've fallen lower than a refugee, and we must straighten our people out. We must correct the things in their lives. We must help them to go back to their rituals and heritage. Allow us to do that. Please be patient with us, and don't have national peace, and don't feel like you are out on the outside of what we're talking about. We're trying to bring things into balance again. So please, if you want to support this room, please support us by telling every African American they could come and get teaching in this room and get taught well, free of charge. And on that note, I want to tell you thank you so much for lending me your airwaves. Thank you for being a part of this evening's show. I encourage you to come back tomorrow. And those call numbers, once again, are 646-478-0270. And I want to put my hand up in the air, and I want to send three shouts out into the atmosphere for Harambe Radio Station, our neighboring station, where Delani Aman is the chief CEO, I'd like to say hello, Gilani Ahmed. And we missed you around here. We'd love to have you on the show. Please do come and join us. Now, I'll send out three shots into the atmosphere. Harambe! 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 And I say, Baba Booey to you, y'all. And Odabo, see you tomorrow.